Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DFS, D-Gen Nation, what is up? What has happened? We're on to it. What should be an exciting Week 7 main slate with tons of awesome totals and just not really. There's the only plus 50-plus game there is not even on the main slate. It is the Sunday night game. I long for the days of when DraftKings used to put the Sunday night game on the main slate because this would be a good week to have. Neither here nor there, because we're all still going to play because we're D-Gen. So we got to find the plays to win. So that's what we're going to do. As we do, let's just get right into it. And the game of the week is probably this Chiefs and Chargers game, which I will say has historically with Mahomes and Herbert has went off almost every single time. Herbert is averaging almost 300 passing yards and 2.5 touchdowns per game against the Chiefs in their career playing together. This game always seems to go over. We'll see if that happens again because it's a little bit different because the Chiefs defense is probably the best defense the Chiefs have ever had under Patrick Mahomes. They've done a very good job so far this year, but this game is still going to be popular, but it's going to be hard because, you know, Mahomes and Kelce are super expensive. And if you want to run it back with like Keenan Allen, that's also expensive. So you're going to have to find some other places. Keenan Allen's also $8,600 on this slate, but Maddie, where are you looking to go at quarterback this week? Are you going to go with this game, the Chiefs game, and lean into it? Or are you going to try to find something
different? Yeah, so you have to like that game, right? Because it's the highest total on the board. I think it would be really dumb to not play pieces from it. I don't know that I'm going to play a full 8K, 8,300 Patrick Mahomes. But you have to have interest in that game. I actually have interest in some cheaper QBs this week. And I feel like I've been on Matt Stafford every single week this year so far. I'm just going to, keep going back to the well, and the Rams pretty much don't have any running backs on their roster right now. Kyron Williams is supposed to miss a couple of weeks. Their backup, Ronnie Rivers, he's going to be out. They're going to possibly rely on a 6th-round rookie in Zach Evans to kind of take over that backfield. But I mean, the way they're talking, it seems like they don't have the trust in him to do that. Cause they've called up, Royce Freeman from the practice squad. They signed Miles Gaskin from, another team's practice squad. They signed Daryl Henderson to join their practice squad. So there's just a lot of moving bodies there for the Rams and at the running back position. So what that tells me is they don't really have confidence in the rookie at the moment to just kind of come in and take over. And so what I think it's going to translate to is just more Stafford pass attempts. And we've seen, QB subpar QBs have shredded this Pittsburgh pass defense. So I really like Stafford at home. 6,500 is definitely a good price for him. And his stack is really straightforward who you pair him with, even though it costs a little bit. And then the other cheap cheaper QB that I really like this week is Jordan Love. That Denver defense is really bad. And, you know, we saw the Chiefs march down the field every single possession against Denver last week and then just kicked a bunch of field goals. So I really like the Packers here. They should be getting Aaron Jones back, which just boosts the offense as a whole instead of having, you know, like A.J. Dillon and Patrick Taylor, who are a little bit less explosive in that backfield, which can help in the pass game too, because Aaron Jones is a really good pass catcher. And, you know, we saw him have 80 over 80 receiving yards in week one against the Bears. So I really like Jordan Love this week. His stack is pretty easy too. You can pair him with Christian Watson, who's way too cheap. And Musgrave is a cheap tight end as well. So I really like the Packers this week and the Rams, if you're not playing Kansas City and the Chargers. And then a sneaky game that I think could shoot out is Washington and the Giants. The Giants, we know, haven't really been playing good pass defense, but they have been okay at stopping the run. And Washington's pass defense has just been non-existent. You know, we've seen pretty much every team shred them through the air. So if Daniel Jones plays in this game, even if he doesn't, Tyrod looks serviceable. There's some cheap pieces on both sides. Like Terry McLaurin is, I think, the most expensive pass catcher for Washington at 5,400. And then on the other side of the game, Wandale Robinson's 3,800 in what is in almost every down slot role. So that game's got cheap pieces, and it's actually sneaky one of the higher total games of the week. I think it's at like 44. So, you know, that's usually not a very high total for a game stack, but on this week with really only the Chiefs and Chargers up there around 49, these other games coming in at 44, 45 with the Packers, Broncos, actually Giants and Washington, I think they're opened a little bit lower. I think they're in the 30s. I was thinking of Green Bay and Denver, but still, I think that game can still have pieces that can go off. So I think that's a sneaky game to attack, even though it's got a lower total. But I do like Green Bay and the Rams as well.
Yeah, I think the one that I am looking at right now is the of the players you didn't really mention, but Geno Smith, I think 6K, is definitely in play against Arizona. Arizona has struggled to stop opposing quarterbacks. They're allowing the fifth most DK points to the position. The only worry would be is, you know, game script and do they need to throw the ball as much. But one thing that I will say that what we've seen from the Cardinals is they've been able to keep most games close. Like, they haven't been getting blown out. They haven't been getting game scripted out. And so as long as that can happen, I think Geno Smith at 6K is a spot you could go to as well. You know, the one game that he had this year, really, where I think that he was really, was the game where against Detroit, where it was 37-31, he put up 328 and two. But Geno Smith certainly hasn't been the quarterback that he was last year. He hasn't necessarily been terrible, but he has, I mean, only five passing touchdowns so far through five games, is not good, obviously. But I think this is a spot where it could get there. It's at home for Seattle as well. But so that would be the other guy that I think that you could probably have a conversation about. I definitely am in agreement. I think Sam Howell is in play here in that game against the Giants. We've seen some ceiling games here from Sam Howell, and he's only 5,500. But, you know, a couple weeks ago he put up 29. And then before that, you know, he does have a 21 against Denver, where that was kind of a shootout as well. But I think I agree. I think I'm going to mainly stick with, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert here and really try to zero in on that, because I think that is going to be the most optimal way. Like I said, this game tends to always shoot out. Like, I think this game could be something like a 31-28, 35-31 type game. And so I definitely want as much exposure to it. And I do think, like, so for example, if you want to go with this game, I think whether you want to stack Chiefs, I think you definitely could go look at Rashee Rice as a way to kind of, and he's 4,700, to kind of lower it a little bit. If you wanted to go with like a Gerald Everett on the other side as well, you could do that. He's only 3,800. But I think there's ways to kind of make the stack a little bit cheaper. I don't have interest in Joshua Palmer, but we'll talk about that when we get to wide receivers. But so I do think that is going to be the spot to go to this week as a play. The other game, I don't know. And maybe I shouldn't, but this Detroit-Baltimore game, I know the total isn't really there, this week, but that game just kind of intrigues me a little bit. It opened at a 48 and it dropped all the way down to 43. But Lamar Jackson, I think, is somebody I think you look at. He is $7,600. But do you have any interest in somebody like him?
I mean, you have to. So that game is interesting because there's a lot of talent on both sides of the ball, on both offenses. And, you know, we've seen the Ravens get into shootouts last year with, you know, like the Dolphins. That game was like 40. Both teams scored over 40 points. You know, Baltimore just hasn't really been pushed this year. And we know you have to throw on Detroit. You can't run on them. Baltimore doesn't even really have any running backs anymore to run. So, I mean, yeah, Mark Andrews is the cheapest he's like ever been at 5,700. Like he's rarely below 6K. Zay Flowers is the obvious wide receiver one for them. So, you know, if you were to play Lamar, you just pair him with one of those two guys. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, Montgomery's going to be out. So if Gibbs is playing, you know, it's a clear cut RB1 there that you could run it back with. Or Amon-Ra, you can play him. He avoids, you know, the Marlon Humphrey coverage on the outside. Yeah, I mean, you have to have some sort of interest in that game as well, just because of the talent that's on both offenses.
Yeah. So, I mean, this being a 10-game slate, like, I want to try to consolidate. So, I just wanted to bring him up just because, like, on paper, like, I feel like if this game was in Detroit, maybe I would have a little bit more interest inside the Dome and everything else. You know, the Coors Field, if you will, of the NFL. But, I will say, I mean, both these defenses have been really good. Baltimore has allowed the fewest DK points to the quarterback position. And Detroit has been a little bit more middle of the road. They've been okay against that. But, you know, I think they're like 17th or 18th. But I don't know. It's just, like I said, like with this slate, the way that it is, I'm not going to try to get too cute and start playing just off the wall plays.
Part of that, though, is who Baltimore has played. They played Houston in week one in CJ Stroud's first game as a rookie. Week two was Burrow while he was not even remotely healthy. Week three was Indy. I believe that was a Gardner Minshew game. Week four was Cleveland. Week five was Pittsburgh. And week six was Tennessee. So, I mean, Baltimore really hasn't played an offense like Detroit yet. So, I mean, yeah, if you think Baltimore's defense can be had at all, I mean, it is a perfect spot because I don't think anybody's going to play Detroit.
No, not at all. Especially with Goff being, I mean, $6,400 isn't cheap. So no, you're probably
and
right.
Goff's kind of in the same boat as Stafford, right? Like, yes, they will rely on Gibbs, a ton as the RB1, but I mean, I could see Goff just throwing more because they don't have Montgomery out there to carry the ball 30 times.
Yeah. And then, what about Josh Dobbs? I mean, with the way that I know the last couple of weeks, he's kind of fallen off a little bit. But, I mean, he has put up, you know, a 25-point game, a 23-point game. He's actually been running the ball at a decent clip as well. Outside of week five, I mean, he's had over 40 yards rushing every single game except for the week five and then week one because he had 41, 55, 48, and 47. So that helps the floor. And then, like before these last couple of weeks, I mean, he was throwing the ball well. Hollywood Brown is healthy. So, and they, I mean, they're another team that doesn't really have a running game right now with James Conner hurt.
Yeah.
He's probably going to have to lean on the pass a little bit more. And he's only $5,300. That's a cheap stack I think you could probably look to get to as well.
Yeah. So I played Minshew last week at 5K for the sake of. I didn't really feel great about any of the quarterbacks on the slate, like having a, you know, an absolute nuclear score where you had to have it. So at that point, you know, the cheaper the quarterback you can get, the better, because then it allows you to fit in, you know, the Cooper Cups and the Tyreek Hills of the world on last week's slate. And so this slate kind of feels the same, right? Where, yeah, I mean, there is Mahomes and Herbert that could go out and put up 30 plus. And, you know, if they do that, you probably have to have them to win because, they're going to be probably the only quarterback that does that on this slate. But let's say they don't do that. Let's say, you know, the high price guys, Mahomes and Herbert, get you 22 or something, which is what Tua did last week. You know, one of these cheap quarterbacks that gets you 18 when the studs are getting you 22, your 18 is way more valuable because now you have Cooper Kupp, you have, you know, Davante Adams, you have, you know, Keenan Allen on your team or Travis Kelce. and everybody else paid up for QB and they paid down at receiver. Well, those cheap receivers aren't doing anything because none of these other pass games are doing anything. So I think it's a, when you have these lower scoring slates, it brings these cheaper QBs into play for the sake of there's not really going to be a quarterback that absolutely kills you for not playing them.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we can go ahead and jump over to running back. I don't think there's a whole lot left to talk about wide quarterback this week. Like I said, I'm going to be having most of my exposure to Mahomes and Herbert, and then I'm going to sprinkle in some of – I do like the call for Stafford. I think Jordan Love, is, you have to have interest in that against Denver, the way Denver's defense has been, had been playing, you know, other than the Thursday night game. But they've been pretty bad up to that point. And then I think I am going to play some maybe I might get a little crazy and play some Josh Dobbs, you know.
I don't hate it.
Oh, and Geno Smith. Definitely going to play Geno. I do like that matchup for him. So let's go ahead and jump over to running back. You have Austin Eckler, who's 8,600. Saquon's 8,100. Then Jacobs at 74. Bijan, 73. David Montgomery, who is showing questionable, but he's not playing this week. We already feel pretty good about that. And then you have Kenneth Walker at 7K. Aaron Jones, 6,800. Jonathan Taylor at 65. James Cook. Jahmyr Gibbs, Zach Moss, and Isaiah Pacheco round out the 6K and above guys. I feel like Josh Jacobs is going to be heavy chalk this week playing Chicago, especially when you're talking about two backup quarterbacks that are going to be playing in this game where, you know, you already know Jacobs is already in line for a massive workload. And then I think next to that guy, I think Kenneth Walker is also going to be very popular this week at 7K. We kind of talked about that already, but Arizona has struggled to stop the run this year as well. But I think both of those two running backs are two players that people are going to gravitate towards, and especially with Kenneth Walker's usage. I mean, he's handling 76% of the snaps, 86% of the rush attempts, and he's also running 54% of the routes. Last week, he did in week six. He's also fourth in red zone touches on the season. And so I just think he's going to be extremely popular. And like I said, Arizona has allowed the fourth most rushing yards, the fifth most rushing touchdowns, and the third most DK points to the position. So this just seems like a smash spot as well for Kenneth Walker.
Yeah, and I prefer playing Walker at home and Geno on the road. So I agree. I think this is a good spot for Kenneth Walker at home. I like the Josh Jacobs call as well. Have you seen which quarterback is going to start for the Raiders? Is it O'Connell again?
Yeah, I believe that's, I think that sounds like that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, so if we look at, so O'Connell, we actually have a start with O'Connell this year. That was week four against the Chargers. And that was Jacobs' biggest game of the year. He scored 28 fantasy points, and he had a whopping 11 targets. He hasn't had more than six in any other game. So Jacobs got absolutely fed the ball through the air. A lot of dump offs from O'Connell. So I think despite him being priced at 7,400, you have to like his role there against Chicago. So, yeah, I love Jacobs. I love Walker sliding down. Aaron Jones, I don't think anybody's going to play him, but we know his upside, assuming he's a full go at 6,800 against Denver. We've seen, you know, multiple running backs crush Denver throughout this season, including Breece Hall just 2 weeks ago and then Pacheco last week. So, Aaron Jones is a sneaky good play, and Pacheco, as I just mentioned, 6,100 against the Chargers. If you're not playing Mahomes, I think you have to have interest in Pacheco because you're getting crazy if you just completely fade the Chiefs and Chargers game with how many points should be scored in that game. So I do like Pacheco at 6,100, and then moving down from there, if I think Kareem Hunt's going to play, but if he were to somehow miss, like if his thigh were to act up between now and Sunday and he were to miss, I think Jerome Ford would be an absolute lock at 5,100 against Indy. But I think Hunt's going to play. I think they're going to continue to split touches. Hunt's going to continue to get more involved, but I definitely think that that's a situation to monitor because those guys are in a good spot there against Indy. And then I will say if we get Roschon Johnson full clear, he's somebody I have interest in. I don't think he's a lock by any means. I think they'll still involve the other guys. And especially with, you know, them having a backup quarterback starting, that offense should be a little more inefficient. But you still have to have interest in his pass catching ability. And then we already mentioned the Rams situation. I'm probably just out on Zach Evans, and I think he's going to get some popularity. I honestly wouldn't be shocked if he's over 20% owned this weekend, and I just think that that's a mistake. But yeah, so I think running back's pretty straightforward for me. It's Walker and Jacobs up top. It's Pacheco in the middle. And Aaron Jones up top as well. Pacheco in the middle. And then possibly one of the Cleveland guys, but I probably won't end up there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with a lot of the players you said. Like I said, I already talked with the guys at the top. Isaiah Pacheco, 100% agree with on Pacheco. He's in a great spot this week when you look at the matchup that lays in front of him. And he's also started to, like last week, he played 63% of the snaps. But the one encouraging sign was he ran 40% of the routes and 16% target share last week. He's also another aspect to his game this year that's changed that we saw from last year. Because last year, if you remember, it was Jerick McKinnon that was handling most of the touches down inside the red zone. That has changed this year. Isaiah Pacheco is ninth among all running backs in red zone touches. He's also been a very good receiver out of the backfield, fifth in yards per route run and seventh in yards created per touch so far to start the season. And this is a pretty good matchup for them. The Chargers have allowed the 12th most rushing yards, and they've also allowed the 4th most receiving yards and the 10th most DK points to the position. So this is a good spot for Isaiah Pacheco here to capitalize on. I think if Aaron Jones plays this week, I'm going to have interest. I think it's worrisome, though, because he's been dealing with this soft tissue injury, this hamstring injury for most of the season, and he got in another limited practice today. But if he was able to play at 6,800, I would be interested in that as well, because we know Denver is just absolutely dreadful against the run. They're at the top of every statistical category that you don't want to be at the top of in terms of rushing. They've allowed the most rushing yards, touchdowns, receiving yards, receptions, DK points. It doesn't matter. They are at the top of it. And so they are just a terrible matchup. And Aaron Jones at 68 is something that I think that you could look at. And then if you're wanting to pay down at running back this week, I have some interest in Javonte Williams at $5,400. This on the other side of that game, this is a really good matchup. Green Bay has struggled mightily against the run this year. They've allowed actually the 4th most DK points to the position. And he's still the lead back. Last week, he handled 51% of the opportunities. And I think he looked the best he's looked all year last week. Now, he didn't get a full workload mainly because of game script, because of the way they were at. But 11 carries for 51 yards. And people talk about him like he's just been – I mean, he hasn't produced like in the box score, but he's still 24th in yards created per touch, and he's also 13th in breakaway run rate. And so with this game, I don't feel like it's going to get out of hand. And I think Javonte Williams, this could be maybe a spot where he bounces back in a big way. So $5,400, Javonte. I actually played some Ramondre Stevenson last week, kind of in a similar vein, knowing that nobody was going to play him. Everybody was going to be off of him. And he looked pretty good. He did score a touchdown. He didn't quite get there. He wasn't bad by any means, but he scored 18 last week. So, I mean, he was worth it. He bounced back in a pretty good way, and as cheap as he was. And so Javonte Williams is kind of like my Ramondre Stevenson this week at $5,400. So I like getting to him as well at a play that nobody's going to play him whatsoever this week. And then the other one that I wanted to mention was Brian Robinson. This is an elite matchup. He's only $5,800 in this spot against the Giants. If you're not wanting to play the pass catchers, but $5,800, Brian Robinson is another workhorse back, 70% opportunity share. You're likely not going to find a running back that's this cheap that handles the kind of workload that Brian Robinson does. He's also seventh among all running backs in touchdowns. He's already had 5 of them on the year. The only frustrating thing with him really is he's not heavily involved in the passing game. Only a 6.5% target share and a 33.2% route participation. But he has been good and effective as a runner, 10th in yards per route run. But he has been really good this year, 7th in yards created per touch, 18th in breakaway run rate. And the Giants have allowed the 3rd most rushing yards and the 7th most DK points to the position. So $5,800 Brian Robinson is somebody that I'm definitely going to be getting to as well. Just a really, really solid matchup for him this week.
Works for me.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, let's go. Let's just not waste any more time. Let's just go over to jump over to the wide receivers. And right now you have at the very top, you have Cooper Kupp, who has come back guns blazing, averaging 26.8 DK points over the two games that he's been back for, but $9,500. And then Steph Diggs is 8,900. Keenan Allen is 86. Davante Adams is 8,200. Amon-Ra St. Brown is 8K. And in the 7K range, you'd have just two options of Puka Nacua and Mike Evans. And then the 6K, you have Godwin, Metcalf, Michael Pittman, DJ Moore, Jacoby Myers, Amari Cooper, and Tyler Lockett wrapping up the 6K and above. What are you doing at this spot?
So you have to have interest in Cooper Kupp once again. Pittsburgh has gotten absolutely obliterated by opposing wide receiver ones to start the year. And we're talking like Nico Collins, 140 yards and two scores. Davante Adams, like 160 yards and two scores. They've been absolutely abysmal against opposing wide receiver ones. So Cooper Kupp, I think, is going to absolutely obliterate this Pittsburgh defense. And, you know, as we mentioned, the Rams really don't have a running back right now. So I wouldn't be shocked if Cooper Kupp is their goal line running back by virtue of, you know, like 1 yard passes. So I wouldn't be shocked if Kupp scored multiple touchdowns here this week and think he's pretty much a lock to go for 100 yards. So 9,500 is a lot, but I think he's worth it. Keenan Allen's in a great spot, 8,600 against a man-heavy coverage Kansas City Chiefs team. Davante Adams pretty much came out and said this week that he literally does not care about winning and losing if he is not involved. He just wants to be involved and doesn't really care what the outcome is. So squeaky wheel narrative for him at 8,200 against Chicago. And he also got 13 targets in that week four game when O'Connell was the starter. So I honestly wouldn't even be against you playing O'Connell, Jacobs, and Adams together on a team because O'Connell threw the ball like 30 something times and 24 of the targets went to Adams and Jacobs. So you can pretty much get 75% of O'Connell's passing volume through those two guys. So Vegas is really easy to figure out. And I think O'Connell is just going to pummel those two guys with targets, and that's Adams and Jacobs. So really like Davante Adams, 8,200. He's probably going to get overlooked with Keenan and Kupp sitting right there. If you're playing Stafford, you have to have interest in Puka. So I like him. Scrolling down the list, Amari Cooper, 6,100, is in a really good spot against Indy. And he's gotten shredded by opposing pass opposing pass offenses all year long. Their pass defense is not good. So Amari Cooper at 6,100, and especially if Deshaun comes back, which I think he got in a limited practice today. So there's optimism that he could play, and that would just be a boost to Amari there. And then this mid-5 range, I'm going to live in this mid-5 range because there's a handful of guys here that can absolutely smash this slate. So we have Christian Watson at 5,600 against the absolutely abysmal Broncos defense. He has a monster ceiling at 5,600 there. Terry McLaurin against a man heavy coverage Giants team, which we know McLaurin is very good against man coverage. He's 5,400. Marquise Brown, we already talked about Hollywood and Dobbs. Arizona's in a great spot against Seattle. Hollywood's pretty much a lock at this point for over 10 targets a game. So I really like him. Drake London, if he continues to get this volume at 5,100, I think he's too cheap. 9 and 12 targets in his last two games. 78 and 125 yards. Didn't score last week and scored 24 DK points. So you give him a touchdown, he's at 30. You give him two, he's at 36. So 5,100 is still too cheap for him. I love the Rashee Rice call at 4,700. He is the wide receiver that's going to, I think, separate himself from the rest of the wide receivers in that room on that offense in Kansas City. He's got the best metrics. You know, he's been the most explosive. I know he's got an issue with drops, but Mahomes continues to target him. The only thing with him is he just isn't on the field a ton, but he's definitely somebody that's going to continue to see an expanded role as the season goes on. So 4,700 for him, I definitely have interest. And then 3,800 for Wandale Robinson. That also seems too cheap. I don't think that's a lock by any means. It seems cheap because it's got a three next to it, but you know, he still needs to, you know, at least catch a touchdown or go for 100 yards to really like bury you for not playing him, which is definitely possible. He had a 100-yard game last year, and both Jones and Tyrod have shown willingness to just target him over and over. So that game is interesting. So if you like that game, Wandale at 3,800 is definitely a piece I would get exposure to.
So I think, first off, when we talk about some of these different options this week, I think we have to start with the two games that I think people are going to be the game that everybody's going to want to play, and that's the Chiefs game. So a couple of things here. The Chiefs play man defense, which ranks among the top 10 best in defensive success rate, explosive plays allowed, and yards allowed per coverage snap so far. We know that Keenan Allen absolutely is elite against man coverage. I mean, we saw it last week. Cowboys were a heavy man team as well, and he was put up a monster game. Keenan Allen's also tied for fifth among all wide receivers in fantasy points per route run this season. Where I mentioned Josh Palmer, I think it's a pretty easy no for me because he has really struggled against man this year. His PFF grade against man coverage is 62.6, which is 63rd, and his 0.38 fantasy points per route run against man ranks 40th among all wide receivers. So he is not somebody that I'm going to want to get to this week. I think it's Keenan Allen is pretty easily for me. And then, you know, he talks about Seattle and why this is such a great spot. Arizona has been really bad. They are a really heavy zone coverage team and they are second worst in the league in team coverage. They've also first per out run is also very high as well. So this is a great matchup. DK Metcalf absolutely torches zone coverage this season. And he's the 16th best graded wide receiver against zone coverage this year. And he is 0.48 fantasy points per route run is top 20 against zone coverage as well. So I do like him. The other one I want to mention on the other side of that other game is against the Chiefs, where the Chargers also are a very zone heavy team. And they have been terrible in zone coverage this year. And Rashee Rice is the guy that you're going to want to go to. He continues to be the best wide receiver, the most explosive wide receiver. His 0.80 fantasy points per route run, which is tied for the highest in the league so far this year. So far, if you look at the Chargers, they have allowed an explosive play on 19.8% of its snaps this year, which is the highest rate in the league. So I do think that Rashee Rice is 100% in play. And then Denver is the other one we talked about. They allowed the second most explosive plays as well this year on defense. And that's where it leads me to Christian Watson, who I think is an elite play. We know he's their deep guy. I think he has yet to really be a force within this offense, but coming off their bye week, another week to kind of rest up, he kind of get knocked off a little bit of the rust. But he has a 3.03 yards per route run versus zone this year in the two games he's played, which is the highest in the league. And we know that Denver plays one of the highest rates in his own defense as well. So I think Christian Watson is also very, very much in play. And then Chris Godwin, we know we target Atlanta in the slot. That is where you want to go after them. You do not attack them on the outside. And so Chris Godwin at $6,900, kind of a one-off play. I think if you want to go there as well, I think he makes a lot of sense. So for me, you know, outside of playing some of these top guys, I'm going to have a lot of Rashee Rice. I'm going to play a lot of Christian Watson this week. And I even think someone like Tyler Lockett is also in play as well. Leads the team in targets this year and target share. So I think he is also somebody you could take a look at as another option this week. So those are going to be the kind of guys that I would definitely be looking at. I wouldn't mind playing Kendrick Bourne, but now a lot of these guys come back. It's weird. I don't know why in the two games that they've actually featured him that that he's actually went off and played well. And then it seems like when Juju Smith-Schuster comes back, some of these other guys, that he completely gets phased back out of the offense. I really don't get it and what they're doing over there. So I, but if Juju Smith-Schuster's back, I wouldn't really have much interest there. Yeah, I would love to say Quentin Johnson's name, $3,800, but they just have, they have not utilized him at all. Like he just hasn't been featured. He sees no targets. His target per out run rate is dropping significantly. You would think, and I felt like after Mike Williams went down, that was when, especially coming off their bye, that they would be looking to get him involved, but they just haven't. So I think if you do want to look at somebody as an option down here in the 3K range, which could be kind of interesting, is actually Mecole Hardman, who got traded to the Chiefs this week. Now, normally I would never be interested in playing a wide receiver who just got traded to another team, but he is very familiar with this offense, right? He just came from this team. He knows the playbook. He knows everything there is to know. So he's not going to have to get up to speed. It's not like he's been out with an injury or something like that. So like, he should be ready to go, and they need somebody like him. That is what this offense has been missing. As crazy as it sounds to say that they're missing Mecole Hardman, but he is the guy that they use on a lot of this gadget type stuff, the jet sweeps and all this type of things that the Andy Reid loves to do. He's also going to be the guy who's going to fill in for Justin Watson as that deep threat, because nobody has Mecole Hardman's speed. Like, the dude has unreal speed. Like, he is close to a 4.2 guy. He's 4.3. They don't really have that from anybody else. And so I do expect Mecole Hardman is going to be utilized in this offense. And if you remember last year, that early in the season before he got hurt, he was having a solid season last year before he got hurt last year and kind of missed the second half of the year before making it back for the playoffs. But $3,200, again, another way to get access to this game, who's going to carry zero ownership, as somebody I think you can take a look at as well.
Yeah, I mean, you've definitely recommended worse $3,200 players. So,
you know, you just... And they always come through. So just don't be surprised when Mecole Hardman just has like 15 fantasy points, 15 DK points at $3,200, you know, and it'll play. There was one more that I did want to talk about. Josh Reynolds. I'm surprised you didn't bring up Josh Reynolds, bro. How do you not bring up Josh Reynolds? That's your dude. Like, you've been tied to the Josh Reynolds bandwagon. But Josh Reynolds is so the Ravens run top five in man coverage this year, and Josh Reynolds is their man beater this year. He's had significant success against man coverage this season, earning a 87.5% receiving grade, which is ninth highest among all wide receivers this year against man coverage. And he's also top 15 in fantasy points per route run against man coverage this year. So Josh Reynolds, if you're wanting some access to this game as a cheaper wide receiver, he's only $4,300. I would also have a lot of interest in Josh Reynolds as well.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I'll never tell you no on Josh Reynolds. I think he's better than people give him credit for.
I mean, you've been on it. You've been riding the Josh Reynolds bandwagon all year.
I have.
And you just jumped off at the wrong time, I guess. But
I guess he got me what, two touchdowns that one week.
Yeah.
And then he picked up a groin injury from probably from all the pipe he was laying after that two touchdown game.
I mean, might have been. I mean, hey, shout out to the man. So. Anyways, all right. Do you have any other wide receivers you want to hit on?
No, I think we covered it.
All right, let's jump over to tight end. And you have Travis Kelce, and then a significant drop-off to the next in Mark Andrews, who is $5,700. And then Sam Laporta at 53, Darren Waller's 5K, and then Cole Kmet, Hunter Henry, Kyle Pitts are 4K. Patty Fry looks like he should be back this week, is 39. Then you have Gerald Everett at 38. And then you have the rest, the kind of the cast of characters. Luke Musgrave's $3,300, who is in it for a really good spot. And then you have Michael Mayer, who I guess we could talk about in a minute, but he's $2,700. But what do you want to do at tight end?
Yeah, I'm going to do everything I can to fit Kelce, which is tough because I want to play Cooper Kupp as well. Like, those are like two of my priority guys that I want to start with this week, but. Kelce's gone over 100 yards in three of his last four meetings with the Chargers. And in the last game he played against them, he went for like 117 and three scores. So the 40-point game is not out of the question for Kelce. And if you get that from your tight end, there's not a single other tight end on the slate that can even come close to that. So you will have to have Kelce if he goes for anything close to that. So that's the reason I like Kelce here, is he finally looks, you know, like he's – back to normal Kelce. Like, I guess he's shaking that knee injury that he had. He didn't really look, I mean, he looked solid the first couple weeks back, but last week was the first week where he actually looked like he was unguardable and back to his normal ways. So, yeah, I really like Kelce this week. I'm going to do everything I can to fit him in, even though he's 8K. And, you know, it's not really analysis to say play Travis Kelce, but at the same time, it kind of is, because you have to pick and choose which slates you pay up for tight end and which ones you want to pay down. I think this is a pay up slate for Kelce, just because, I mean, there are a couple guys that are in solid spots, but I mean, their usage and outlook is just so hit or miss, right? Like, so you mentioned Musgrave. He's definitely somebody I have interest in. I mentioned I love Jordan Love this week. So, you know, on a Love team, I absolutely would play, you know, consider playing Musgrave, but I also love Christian Watson. And, you know, if Watson goes for, you know, 150 yards and two scores, and Musgrave catches two passes for 30 yards and doesn't get in the end zone, you know, I mean, he was cheap and Love and Watson got there, but now my tight end didn't get there. So there's definitely ways that, you know, Love can have success and the tight end doesn't go with him. But at the same time, I always have interest in playing the tight end with the QB that I'm playing, because tight ends are a big, big source of touchdowns. So, I do have interest in Musgrave at 3,300. I think it's too cheap for the matchup. Gerald Everett, a little bit more expensive, 3,800. I have interest in him against Kansas City. You know, if you're not going to be able to target outside wide receivers, like if you're not going to heavily involve Josh Palmer, if you're not going to involve Quentin Johnston, and it's mainly going to be, you know, inside passes and runs to the tight end and Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler, Gerald Everett is a really good athlete. So I definitely have interest in him. They do utilize Donald Parham more than I would like. So that's why, you know, I think he's priced appropriately at 3,800, but Everett definitely does have some sort of ceiling. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if he caught, you know, five passes for 60 yards and a score to get you to 17 DK points. So I like Everett. And then with Mayer, I'm probably out on him with O'Connell starting. If Jimmy G was in, or, you know, even Hoyer. Probably Hoyer would probably be the best case scenario for Mayer, I would think. I think O'Connell is going to absolutely pepper Davante Adams with targets, with Adams coming out and having his disgruntled, you know, conversations earlier this week. And then we already mentioned Josh Jacobs got 11 targets from O'Connell in week four when they played the Chargers. So I think O'Connell is just going to pepper Jacobs and Adams. And I think it's going to be little left over for, you know, like Jacoby Myers and Mayer and all these other guys. So 2,700 is definitely cheap for his new role that he has in this offense. And he's actually a really good pass catcher. And so I am excited for Mayer for the rest of the year. I just don't think with O'Connell in this week that I'm going to be on that. But you definitely can make worse plays than that. I think he's fine. I just don't think he has a ceiling here.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, with O'Connell, I mean, I think O'Connell, I mean, at least, I mean, I know it's just one game. Like, he wasn't terrible in the one game that he played, 24-39, 240 passing yards in that game. I mean,
well, wasn't he? He was, like, preseason's PFF's, like, number one graded QB, too, in the preseason.
Yeah, like, he shined in the preseason. There was a lot of buzz surrounding him.
I think O'Connell's fine. I just think the volume's going to go to Jacobs and Adams is what I think.
It very well could, yeah. But, I mean, Mayer... I mean, at $2,700, though, he doesn't really have to do a ton to be able to get there, right? But I think you're – I mean, I don't think you have to get – and I will – I mean, I very well could see him get steamed up in a matchup against Chicago coming off his biggest game of the season. I definitely could see him getting steamed up and getting a lot of ownership.
Yeah, I think Musgrave's going to be the chalky tight end, personally.
Could be, too. So, I mean, if you look at him last week, he ran 67% of the routes, which is 27 – and a 21% target share last week, but that was also with Brian Hoyer at quarterback too. So this week, I definitely think we should, you know, keep that in mind. It was also with a different quarterback. It's not Brian Hoyer, who's obviously going to be playing this week. So that is definitely something to monitor away. But, you know, the rest of the tight ends, like I said, like I think Musgrave, he is in a great spot this week. The Denver Broncos, not shockingly, have given up the most DK points to the position. I also think Patty Fry is kind of interesting because the Rams have really struggled this year against the I guess tight end so far this year, but he's only $3,900. He got in a limited practice today. So I do think Patty Fry is somebody you could look at it too at $3,900. And then Mark Andrews, Detroit, if one of their weaknesses that they do have would be against tight end so far. They have allowed at the fifth highest rate in the league fantasy points to the position has Detroit. So, and Mark Andrews being so cheap. So this could be a spot where you could look at as like a mini stack, right? Maybe go Josh Reynolds and Mark Andrews at tight end. I think is kind of a smart way to go here. It gets some access to that game. But both of those guys that we've already talked about are in a really good spot. So I definitely think he is somebody that I like as well. Mark Andrews at $5,700. It's because Kelce at 8K, like he has to go nuclear. If he doesn't, he's going to sink you because you're paying top of the, you know, wide receiver one, top five wide receiver prices for him. So you have to have him go off in this spot here to be able to make that work. And so, you know, I don't mind getting a little contrarian. Maybe you go a Herbert and, you know, if you go like a Herbert and Keenan Allen, maybe Gerald Everett. And then if you want to run it back with like Isaiah Pacheco or Rashee Rice, I think that is going to be contrarian where I don't think you're going to see a lot of matchups like that. And you still get access to that game. So I do like something like that.
Yeah. And I think Kelce's ownership is going to be tamed a little bit because he is priced up so high. You know, he's priced as a top tier wide receiver one, which is, I mean, pretty much what he is in that offense. So he gets that production at a position that nobody else can match. So yeah, if Kelce smashes, you have to have him. And if he doesn't smash, you better have not played him. It's, you have to get Kelce right this week, whether it's you play him or you don't, he smashes or he doesn't, you have to get him right because he buries you if he crushes and you don't have him. Because there is not a single other tight end that can match him.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, I think Mark Andrews can, but yeah.
Theoretically. We haven't seen it this year, but.
Oh, no. And then I actually, if Geno Smith, or not Geno Smith, if Daniel Jones sits this week and it is Tyrod Taylor, I do think Darren Waller becomes, because I mean, like Daniel Jones has just not looked very good this year. He's dealing with this injury. It sounds like a pretty significant one too. I know he's been limited this week, but if Tyrod Taylor, who actually looked functional as quarterback within this offense, like it, because he has started to see an uptick in targets. Darren Waller has 7 last week, 11 the week before that, but you know, he hasn't found the end zone yet. And I will say that Washington has been really bad against tight ends so far this year as well. And so, you know, Darren Waller could also be in play as an option here at 5K. But for the most part, like I've said, like I think I'm going to stick to my ownership. Like I said, I really like Patty Fry, Luke Musgrave. I think you have to have some ownership. And something I've really tried to do this year and not if the matchup is there and it's not just some off-the-wall reason why ownership is so high on somebody or if a guy's a little bit higher and a little bit chalky, I'm going to lean into it. Like I've gotten, you know, over the years, there's always like, oh, I'm going to fade all the chalk. I'm not going to play it. You know, I'm going to try to avoid it. Yep. And then you just get crushed by it. You know, more
fields, the field's too sharp these days. You have to play some chalk. I mean, honestly, even all the chalk, like there's very rarely these days, like a 3% or 2% owned guy that just goes absolutely nuclear. You know, most people are sharp enough now that they realize, you know, that there's the range of outcomes that, you know, the good plays have, and the good plays end up getting, you know, some sort of ownership, whether it's, you know, 8 to 10%, which is usually what we would consider, I guess, lower owned for good plays nowadays. But very rarely, I mean, I guess Jalen Waddle comes to mind over the last 2 weeks. He's somebody that's been, you know, like 3% owned that could really nuke a slate. But I mean, he's scored touchdowns, but he hasn't crushed. But I mean, outside of that, nothing really comes to mind that's like, you know, I get excited about having like 1% owned, you know?
Yeah. Especially, I think it also really depends on what you're playing, because if you're playing like, you know, 150 max cut, you know, large entry, you know, field tournaments, then yeah, sure. I you know, you want to go off the board. But if you're playing single entry or 3 entry max stuff, like you don't have to get that cute. A couple of contrarian plays and you're there.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? you can lean into, you know, the chalk a lot more on something like that and just try to find an edge, you know, here and there in a different position that's going to be low owned. And then I think you're much better off than trying to just go completely against the grain on something. So, yeah. Anyways, let's go ahead and jump over to defense. And I, you know, actually, you know, not that I get super excited about defense, but this might be the best week for defense this week because all these, because I think there's a lot of ways that you can go here with cheap defense. I mean, you're seeing, I mean, you have the Chargers at $2,200. You have the Chiefs at $2,400. The Ravens are $2,500. Even the Broncos. I mean, Jordan Love has struggled a time this year with turning the ball over at $2,600. The Lions are only $2,700. I mean, you also have this, you know, both backups. So Chicago, if you wanted to do that, at $2,900. Like, there's a lot of spots here to play this week.
Yeah, and then even the Giants against Sam Howell, who's going to shatter the record for sacks taken in a season. I mean, he is just on an absolutely incredible pace for taking sacks. So I don't even hate the Giants, who blitz a ton against Sam Howell.
I mean, I think you just kind of pick your poison. I mean, the Chiefs defense has been elite this year. So $2,400, like if you think that this game could you know, be a little bit more low scoring, you know, $2,400 Chiefs isn't crazy, especially at home.
They're the first defense I put in my build. And then when I get to the end, if I've got more salary, I just go up from them. I think they're the cheapest defense that I want to play. I would play them over before I played the Chargers.
Yeah. And I mean, it's so with the Chiefs too, like, yes, remember, like they're able to get pressure on the quarterback, obviously with Chris Jones, but they have brought in, I mean, Charles Minnehue now will be back this week, who was one of their prize, you know, free agent signings on defense. Now, he was suspended for the first six games, so they haven't even had him yet, but he'll be back this week. He's now back because the suspension is over. He was somebody that was with San Francisco last year. He was one of their, I think he was top three on their team last year in pressure rate. So I mean, he'll be back with this defense. And then Frank Clark is actually in town right now for a physical, so they could be bringing him back. But so this team can definitely get pressure on the quarterback. So, you know, fumble, pick six, something like that could definitely be in the range of outcomes at $2,400. You know, it's hard to get away from that. So I do like that call. And like I said, like if you want to go up a little bit further, you know, I think the Bears or even the Giants, like you mentioned, are both really, really good plays as well. So there's a ton of plays down here that you can play. I'm not have any interest whatsoever at the top range. So that's what I'd be looking at. So, all right, let's go ahead and just make a lineup here. See if we can do another under hour show here today. A lot of it's just been because how bad these slates have been. There's not a lot of ways to get a little crazy. And then there are six teams on bye this week. Now, next week, we'll be back to the full because no teams are on bye next week. So that should help out a little bit more to go through next week. So anyways, where do you want to start at?
Let's go Jordan Love. And go ahead and pair him with your boy.
Christian Watson?
Yep.
All right. I'm going to plug in Musgrave then.
All right. Let's do Kenneth Walker.
I like that. I do want to get access to this game, so I'm going to go with Pacheco.
Okay.
61. So at least $5,500 remaining with defense, flex, wide receiver, and wide receiver. Do you want to lock in the Chiefs, especially with that?
Yeah, let's put Chiefs in, and then Hollywood Brown as a Kenneth Walker mini stack. And we actually got a lot of salary left. We could even do a like Keenan Allen mini stack or Cup. We could do Cup.
Yeah, I mean, if you go Keenan Allen, there's still $5,900 remaining. And if we did Cup, it would leave $5,000. So either one of those would be in play.
I mean, if we do Keenan Allen, I like McLaurin at $5,400. It would leave us $500 that we could up our defense if we wanted to. Or we could also play Zay Flowers if you prefer instead of McLaurin. But those are really the two. And then the other side would be if you want to play Cup, we could just double dip the Chiefs with no Chargers and play Rashee Rice with Cup instead of Allen and McLaurin. I kind of like the Allen McLaurin side though.
How would you feel about this? Let me ask you. Let me just run this by you. What would you feel about if instead of playing Hollywood, you played Michael Wilson? And so let me explain why I ask. So the Seattle runs zone coverage, the second highest rate in the league, almost 90% of the time. And Michael Wilson has been their best receiver against zone coverage. Actually, 317 of his receiving yards have come against zone. And he's also second in the team in target share against zone coverage. And he's also top 15 in fantasy points per route run against zone coverage this year. He's only $3,800. I know I didn't bring him up, but if you're wanting to do that, so if we did that instead of Hollywood, and I do want to preface it because I don't want to act like, because I mean, Hollywood hasn't been bad. He has 212 receiving yards against zone coverage this year so far, and a 22% target share against zone coverage. But so I did want to mention him. But if you did that, what the reason I asked is, if it, then it would leave us 8K per position.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely can do that.
And then we could go, if you like, if you wanted to go play Keenan Allen or
Cup, you just play Josh Jacobs.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
I really like this team.
Works for me.
There's other weeks where I've been like, I'm not real high on it, you know, but this
like
week,
last week.
Yeah. Like George. So it's Jordan Love, Kenneth Walker, Isaiah Pacheco, Christian Watson, Keenan Allen, Michael Wilson, Luke Musgrave, Josh Jacobs, and Chiefs defense. Smart move here would actually be, cause I think the Chicago game's at noon. So I would move Jacobs up to the running back and then just move Pacheco or really Pacheco, Kenneth Walker down to the flex. Both of those games are at 3 o'clock. So just move one of those down. Then if you really wanted to, if you wanted to late swap or anything like that, there's different things you could do, especially with the amount of money left on the table or the amount of money that's freed up there with doing that. We could do that as well. So, but I did want to mention that just so people know if you're playing this lineup. And I think last week's lineup cashed again. I'm not 100%. I can't remember off the top of it, but I think it did. I know the week before it scored 200 points. So,
yeah.
But I love this lineup. So, yes, we're going to be entering this one again this week. So that'll do it. That's the lineup for this week. I definitely think there's going to be some spots that I definitely want to pick and choose from, but I'm definitely not going to be getting away and just trying to be super contrarian. Again, I'm just not going to play the Chiefs and Chargers game. Won't be doing that. I'm just going to try to find different ways of getting there. Maybe instead of a full-on game stack, just picking off pieces from this team or some of my favorite pieces from this team. So that being said, less than an hour. That's what I love to see. You know, maybe eventually, if D-Bro, you're listening to this, maybe eventually you'll come on the show and join us, whatever. I don't know. I guess you're too good for us now. We're a fantasy pros that you can't even – we are now 7 weeks into the season. You haven't even showed up yet, not once. So, you know, if you haven't, just slide into his DMs. Just let D-Bro know. Like, hey, quit running. Quit running from us. Quit ducking there, D-Bro. All right? Come get this smoke. All right? So, anyways – hope everybody has a good week. Let's win some money this weekend on this glorious 10-game slate. Hopefully next week is better just in terms of matchups and everything else. And, you know, obviously we're going to have more options to choose from because there is no teams on bye next week. So that being said, hope everybody has a good weekend. And we'll see you again next Thursday for week 8. You can tell me what we'll see you soon. Have a good weekend. Let's win some money. Bye. You know who you're talking to. The way the war battle, I see what you got, inventions and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Dangerous, you know. Dangerous, you know. Think you're a big man. You like your little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up.
CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.